third chapter, 1 Timothy. I'm going to continue on our study on the church. I've felt really impressed for the last six or so months to really do some things concerning the church and begin some basic teachings. I know that the New Testament church in the days of the apostles is not going to be exactly, when I say exactly, like it is today. It won't maybe have the same things. We have big buildings, we have equipment, we have all of those things that is different. But the principles that were used in the early church ought not to change. They ought to change. They ought to be the same. And there's what I'm trying to point us back to. I'm trying to get us back to looking at some things that the early church was. And I think the churches in America, we've got away from some of the things. It's easy to do. It's easy to drift. It's easy to forget. And so I'm just trying to do this to try to stir our hearts and minds back to where God would have us as a church. As individual Christians. Last week we had talked about and started in on the subject, and I won't spend much more time on especially the pastor. We're going to talk about the deacons for just a moment or two. But a church, one of the things that a church has, you know, we talked about prayer. One of the things that a church, the early church, did was they prayed. Well, we had prayer this morning. We had prayer requests. And we talked to God about it. We prayed all week. I'm sure many of you prayed because of the needs of our people. I'm sure you have. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be a praying church. And then we went into the subject here and talked about being a pure church and a forgiving church and how we should treat one another. And then we got in on the fact that New Testament church had spiritual leaders. It had pastors who were spiritual and had supportive deacons for that pastor who were also spiritual. And I believe that's one of the great needs of the church today, is to be sure that we have pastors who are spiritual, that love the Lord. They may not always have a winning personality, but they ought to know Jesus Christ. They may not always be what someone else thinks they ought to be, but they ought to always know Him and be spiritual and be in the Word of God and pray and do those things that the Word of God tells him to do. And so we talked about that, and I showed you that the word pastor speaks of being a shepherd. We also looked at the word bishop, and it talks about the overseer part of the church function. Now, he's all of these things. He's a pastor, he's a bishop, he's an elder. And the elder speaks, of course, on the maturity of the pastor as far as spiritual maturity is concerned. He needs to be spiritually mature. And, of course, God in His Word has left it very plain. We may go back there when we get into the deacons a moment, but we may go back there. But over in Acts, the sixth chapter of Acts, He tells us that he ought to be spiritual because he's got to maintain constantly. He's got to be in the Word of God and prayer. That's his major things that God has given him to do, is to study the Word of God and to pray. And in fact, that's why he instituted the office of deacon, so he would have more time for prayer and more time for study of the Word of God. So he ought to be a spiritual person. Now, we went down through some of these, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, in second verse number 1, it said, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, a vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, and not given to wine or striker. Now, I think that's kind of where we left off. He says, nor greedy of filthy lucre. And in other words, the lucre is the material and also the money, given to wine or striker, or greedy of filthy lucre. And again, talking about filthy lucre, wrong kind of lucre, wrong kind of money or material things, wrong kind of them. Every man has to work. Every man makes a living. Every man works and does that. But he always ought to be honest. Always ought to be gotten in an honest way. And then he also says, but patient. He ought to be patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And that word gravity speaks of seriousness of purpose. In other words, being a pastor is a very serious business. It's very serious. We may have fun a little bit. We may kid around a little bit. But it's very serious. Being a pastor, the work that a pastor does is serious business. In fact, I think there's too much lightheartedness a lot of times about the work of the pastorate. It's serious business. God has given a pastor to the church, and it's very, very serious. And then he says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And then it says, not a novice. And you know what a novice is. That's one who has just begun, one who is young in the faith and hasn't grown. And he says, least being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. So there's always a danger for a person who's just a novice to be lifted up with pride. He'd get proudful. And then it says that he'd fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, we're going to get into the deacons, but once again, it says basically the same thing for the deacons and for the pastor. You're to have a good report of them which are without. That does not mean people won't lie about you. They will lie about you. But you ought to have a good report that whatever they tell ought to be a lie. It ought to be wrong. And you are going to have people tell all kinds of stories. Deacons have all kinds of stories told on them and things that are not true a lot of time. Maybe sometimes they are. Maybe it's true sometimes for a pastor. Maybe sometimes true for a deacon. But they ought not to be true. God wants us to have a good report of those without. And we ought to have an honest report. Is what they ought to know of us. Now, in the deacon, basically, there's just some of the very same things that we went over in as far as a pastor is concerned. But the word deacon is a word that means servant. If you've been around the Bible, if you searched your Bible, if you know the Word of God, you know that that is true. If you go and you look it up and you study it, it means they are servants. The same word was used over in John, the second chapter, when Jesus came to the wedding. And he instructed the servants to fill the pots with water. The word servants there is the same word as used here as used as a deacon. A deacon is a servant. That's what he is. He is a servant. And it's a wonderful position. And what a wonderful thing it is to have servant deacons that's willing to serve. That's a tremendous thing. It's a wonderful blessing for a pastor to have just good deacons that love the Lord and is willing to serve. That's what God says a deacon is supposed to do. Now, we'll go down through those in a minute, but I want to go back over to Acts just for a moment. Hold your place in 1 Timothy, but over to the book of Acts. The sixth chapter of the book of Acts. I'm not real sure, but I think maybe we looked at this. I think we did last week, it seems like, but I'm just going to do it real quickly. If you'll notice there, he says, and in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. One of the things in verse number 3, he said, the way you choose a deacon is you get a men of honest report, you get men of full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. That's some things that God says a deacon ought to be. He ought to have an honest report. He ought to be full of the Holy Ghost, and he ought to be full of wisdom, God's wisdom. Amen. Now God said that's the kind of deacon that you should have. There's three things that as I look through this and I read this portion of scripture, there's three things that basically that happens here when you take a deacon and make a deacon in a church or deacons in a church. First of all, the one responsibility of a deacon is to see to it that peace comes to the church. Now, if you'll notice there was a division among the people. They chose the deacons to step in and do the work and help to bring peace to a church. One of the greatest tragedies in America today is there's multitudes of deacons out there causing schism in churches, breaking up churches, causing heartache in churches, and it's just the opposite of what God said a deacon is supposed to do. A deacon is never to contend with the pastor, go against the pastor. He is to bring peace in the church. He always is to do that. And if you notice, that happened here. Things settled down. They began to do the work that God had given them to do, and things settled down. Secondly, he is to be a helpfulness to the pastor. In other words, so that he can study and do the things that he is supposed to do in prayer, he's to be a help to the pastor. That's what the Word of God says. Now, let me encourage you. I believe that a deacon ought to do something. He ought to study to see what he can do to be a blessing and a help. He ought to look it over. He ought to constantly look that situation over. What could I do? What would be better? You know, you can't do everything. No, I know this pastor don't expect my deacons to do everything. They're a blessing to me and a help to me. I don't expect them to do everything, but they ought to study to look and see, well, what is it we could do to help the pastor, to free him for the work that God has given him to do. Because that's what the purpose for the deacon was. And then also, it ought to have a positive effect on the church. If you will notice, in verse number 6, he says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You notice the effect of having deacons in a church, good, scriptural, solid deacons in the church. They brought peace to the church. They helped the pastor and gave him time to do what he needed to do. And the result of that was the ministry grew and the Word of God expanded. And that's the purpose. That's what God says ought to happen when you've got a scriptural pastor, you got a scriptural deacon, you got people who's willing to follow that and work and serve and do as they're supposed to do. God says the ministry ought to grow and because of putting all of this in place. So once again, that's the responsibility of the pastor, responsibility of the deacon. I'm just going to read down through. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on going back to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I want you to just read down through in verse number 8 of 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor greedy of filthy lucre. See, much of these things that's said about the deacon said about the pastor. Much of the same things he said that they should be. They should be grave, and that means they should not be unstable in their faith. They ought to be honorable men. And then he says in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Not only that, they ought to know what the mystery of the faith is. They ought to know how to be saved and how to show other people how to be saved and know that this is a wonderful, mysterious faith. It's not mysterious in the way we can't know it, but it's a wonderful blessing to know how to be saved and know the truth of the Word of God. And he do so with a pure conscience, knowing first of all that they are saved and also that they are living a good report. They're living a good life. They ought to have a pure conscience. Our conscience ought not be bothering them over things that's going on in their life or has went on in their life that hasn't been taken care of. And then he goes on and he says, and let those also first be proved. In other words, a person ought to be proved to show forth that he is going to stand and walk the way of God. That's important, because for a deacon to be made a deacon, then all at once him turn and go the other way and go out back out into the world and do these kind of things would be a horrible situation. So God says, it's kind of like being a novice, as he said, the pastor shouldn't be a novice. He said he should be proved. He should prove himself that he's going to be steadfast in the faith. And he says, then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Once again, the word blameless is used as it was up in the pastor's responsibility. Even so must their wives be grave. Once again, we talked about grave there being seriousness, a purpose. They should be very serious about the work, the fact that their husbands is a deacon. That's serious business, and they should realize that and understand that this is very serious business. And he says, not slanderous. A deacon's wife should not be someone that gossips, should not be someone that slanders. She's going to have to watch her tongue very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. Be very careful what she does. Not slander, not go behind people's backs, not get along with other people and talk about other people. No, no, no. God says a deacon's wife should not be that and should not do that. Amen. And he also says, sober, and again, being sober-minded, realize and understanding this work is a serious business. This is serious. Being a deacon's wife is serious. My husband being a deacon is serious business, so she's sober, you see, about that. And then, faithful in all things. It wouldn't be good for a deacon's wife to not be faithful. She ought to be attentive to the attention, always attendance of the at church, and be faithful in the things of God, always just being willing to be a blessing and a help and doing those things that are right and proper for her to do. Amen? That's just the way a deacon's wife ought to be. And then he says, and faithful in all things, and then let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. And once again, it has to be someone who has been married one time. And when I say that, they do not have two living wives. A man can lose a wife and remarry again, according to the scriptures. That's all right. But if they should not have two living wives, it's wrong for them to be a deacon. That does not condemn anybody. It's not coming down on anybody. It's just saying what the scripture says. The scripture says no, and he says the same thing about a pastor. It's a tragedy to me to see pastors in this country and deacons also that are divorced, remarried, and are serving in the position of a pastor or a deacon. That is wrong scripturally. Is it? Sure it is. According to the Word of God, is it wrong? Certainly it is. The Word of God says that. It's not the pastor saying that. It's the Word of God saying that. I know this pastor don't feel any better than any person in this room. I don't feel any better. I don't think I'm any better. I don't believe that for one moment. But God has set the standard. God set the standard, and he said this is the way it's going to be. And if you're a deacon, you got to be husband of one wife. Amen. Just the way it is. So anyway, that certainly, and I'm just go back to the wife a moment. I think there's not been enough emphasis put on the wife of deacons. God makes a big deal out of it. I think he means that very seriously, because in the past there's been times, not talking about just Blessed Old Baptist Church, I'm talking about in the past, and I'm sure it's going on now. There's wives that go against actually what this says. They're slanderous, they're gossips, they're not faithful, they don't do the right things, and yet they're deacon's wives. That's wrong. He's disqualified to be a deacon if she's that away. He's disqualified, period. Amen. Why? According to the scripture. Amen. Again, it's not being down on anybody. It's just simply saying this is the standard that God made. And we follow. We want to follow what God says. Okay? So we certainly need to have good spiritual leadership in our churches. And I believe back in those days, they made sure that that's what they had. When they went out, they looked for men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And that's the kind of men they chose to be deacons. See? So thought I'd just kind of go over that a little bit with you. I believe that's what happened back there. I think we sort of stand to that same standard now. Don't you? I believe that's what we ought to stand on. We ought to stand on that same standard now. Good, faithful people, people who love God, people who are living for the Lord. And once again, listen to me, please. My son Bobby is always teasing Sister Ruthie. Now, if you're around them very much, you've known, we've known them for many, many years. And we've eaten at their house multitudes of times back in the past years. And even when our kids were small, and they kind of run around with Bill English a little bit there, you know. And we had good times together, didn't we, Bill? We had some sweet times. Bobby's always going up and telling Ruthie, he said, you see, it wasn't the preacher's son that was a problem. It was the deacon's son. And he's always teaching, and she's always trying to hit him and get him off, you know. But they always teasing about that. But let me say this to you in all seriousness. A deacon or a pastor, but I'm going to talk about deacons. A deacon is not a perfect individual. He is growing. You take a deacon that has maybe got young children. He's training. He's doing his best. He's trying to teach them and train them. He's living faithful himself. He's serving the Lord. He's being very faithful. He's following these things. I don't know of one person in this room that would qualify if we said our kids had to be perfect kids. There's not one that would qualify. You wouldn't qualify. But at the same time, we as pastors and we as deacons must understand there's a high responsibility there, that when there is a problem, you correct it. And that's the secret of it. There's going to be problems in people's lives, but you correct it. You don't let it continue. You do something about it. And let me say to you, I'm not saying Blessed Hope, but let me say, some pastors and some deacons has taken a beating down through the years. Over their children, sometimes rightly so, sometimes not rightly so. Sometimes you expect the deacon and the preacher's kids to be perfect. I know mine were not perfect, but we done our best to correct them as we went along with them, and we learned and we grew in the Lord. We did correct them and straighten out areas in their life. I think that's what you expect of a deacon. You expect them to do the very same thing. It's not trying to be an excuse. It's just simply saying, I have not met anybody in our churches today that's not human. We're all human. And we've all got human frailties. And we've got to learn and grow together. But we do have, and I'm going to say this ending, and I'm going to go on to something else. We do have a heavy responsibility. The pastor has a heavy responsibility to follow the Word of God and be the kind of person that God says he ought to be. A deacon has a heavy responsibility to follow the Word of God and be the kind of person he ought to be. The greatest help that you can be to a deacon or a pastor is to pray for them and ask God's help for them. And do everything. Do that day in and day out. Pray for us. We covet your prayers. We want your prayers. We want the blessings of God on our lives, so the blessing of God will be on our church. And we want that. Amen. So I believe it's really very, very important that we got that point across, and maybe that'll be helpful to you. Yes, sir.
You spoke last week that if a pastor would get divorced, then that would, of course,
yes, sir,
really matter. And then you talked about the kids today, and you know, it says in that verse that their family has chosen in subjection with all gravity.
Yes.
Would that be the same accountability then, if say if I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Say this, for instance, that a pastor's daughter became pregnant.
Okay.
Is that ground, if he does nothing about that, then would that be grounds of him stepping down? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
a church member say, listen, if you're not going to do anything, yes, about that, should you not
do that? Oh, I think if he didn't do anything about it, he needs to handle that in a definite way. I'm just off my top of my head, I'm not sure what grounds or what he would do to, but he definitely needs it to, because in that situation he has not trained, he has not kept his children in subjection.
But if he tries to deal with it,
if he deals with it, I think he's all right. If he tries to deal with it and does deal with it, I think yes, and puts the thing in order and really deals with it, I think so. But if he doesn't, he hasn't got business of being in the pastorate. And I think the same thing would be for a deacon. Very same thing. Oh, well, see, that's just bad business, because that puts a bad taste in people's mouth. I mean, you know, or sometimes maybe they okay it because they say, well, if it happened to them, it happens to us, it don't matter. But it does matter. But I think it needs to be dealt with in a severe way. Yeah.
Is that something that's dealt with publicly,
No, I think it would have to be. Yeah, I think he'd have to deal with it with the church. But and the reason is because it's a public sin. It's an open sin. And I think he would have to deal with it with the church. I think he would have to work through the church and deal with it and let the church know what he is doing to correct that, what he's done, what restrictions he's putting on her and all of these things. I think he would definitely have to do that. Definitely. Because that is a public sin. It's not like it was something that someone did not really know about. And those are ways you handle things a little different. Because you can handle them between you and the Lord. And I've told you before, folks, don't go confessing all your sin to all your friends. Confess them to God. If you got personal sins that are private, get alone with God and confess them to Him and talk to Him, get them right. And you know, you don't have to go around to everybody and talk about it. Just get them right between you and God, and then turn from them. See, that's what the Word of God teaches us. See, but that is a public sin. That's like the first Corinthians, fifth chapter, First Corinthians. Where that man had publicly sinned, and it was well known throughout the whole church. And they told him, they said, put him away from you. And whether the church knows it or not, that's been practiced here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's been practiced. We don't enjoy that. It's not something you want to do. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians, you want to go back and say, boy, come back and repent. And evidently in 2 Corinthians, the man did. He repented and he said, welcome him back. You know, don't hold it against him. Don't make it bad if he repents, see. And there again, I think the important thing would be that this young lady you're talking about, say she would become a child, I think, again, it would be very important that she repented. You know, this is something that that I think would need to be. And he would have to deal with it. Yes, Connie?
We were in a church where this happened, and he handled it correctly. The pastor did. His daughter became pregnant, and he had her and her boyfriend
Yes. Yes. Well, you'd have to deal with it like that. You wouldn't want to hide it under a rug or try to cover it up, because that's not proper. I guess I've never said to myself, if one of mine had become with child, what would I have done? I've never thought about that. I hope, you know, I don't have to worry about that now. But I just never gave a lot of thought what I would have done personally. I mean, I think I definitely would have handled it, and I think in a open manner I would have had to done that. But what I would have done personally, I don't know, because I tell you what, I take it very serious when it talks about this is what a pastor ought to be. I think I take it very serious. And when we can't step up to that, somewhere along the line there does need to be removing yourself from the ministry if you have went far enough that it's going to be a condemnation on the church and the work of God, because that's what we're worried about. That's what's important. Let me say this to you. The work of God is more important than any person in this room. It's more important than any of us.